Hi, my name is Pat again, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I wanted to just say some words about that Ephesians chapter 3. It's a beautiful letter. We have already talked about that in the last two chapters about Paul writing to encourage these believers in this church, and also others who might read the letter, and for us too, now that we read it too. But I'll go ahead and start with verse 3. It says, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. Excuse me, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And when I had underlined that, I thought about it's a song that Chris Tomlin writes. He has written it. It's called God of the City. And the chorus goes, you know, greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. And I also think of what the Lord himself said in John chapter 14, where he is giving the last instructions before he leaves. He has gathered the apostles all together. And he says to them, this is John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. I love the fact that God's Spirit is in me, and that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he advocates for me. And all of this is because of my just reaching my hand out and accepting in faith that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Messiah, and making that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of Jesus Christ. And once I did that, his Spirit has been placed in me, and he wants to use me to do great things, not just me, but anyone who makes that decision to follow him no matter what. And so I like it that Paul makes a statement, you know, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me, and those great things will come as I just surrender my life to him. Who knows what he can bring about in this world as each member of his church, each believer makes that true surrender. In verse 6 it reads, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. I had written down that Jesus is an equal opportunity God. I like that. Up until this time, the Jews were seen as the only people of promise. If you read in the Old Testament and see how the Lord really did, he set aside this nation of people. Actually, he set aside these people and actually built them into a nation. And people around them could see that they had a special calling on their life. But it wasn't until later, right now, that Paul is saying to them that, you know, at one time, the Gentiles were outside of that promise, or they were seen outside of the promise. And now they understand that they are part of the inheritance because of Jesus's sacrifice. And I think about what we had read before, or actually we haven't done Colossians yet, but hopefully that will be the next book that we will read. But in Colossians, Colossians chapter 11, it says, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 11, and Paul writes, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, But Christ is all and in all. And so I like it, you know, that Christ has made us all one in his spirit. Because of his spirit in us, we have an equal opportunity to do great and wonderful things for his kingdom. And so that is truly why I want to continue in my recovery. I don't want to go back. I don't want to backtrack. I don't want to give up anything that he has already suffered and given for me. I don't want to do that. And so staying very clean for me, my recovery is in compulsive overeating. So staying very, very clean with my abstinence and not listening to that voice that wants to make excuses, that wants to say it's okay to pick up. It's not okay for me to pick up. It's not okay for me to not be true to the revelation that he has given to me for my abstinence. That's not okay. And I'm grateful that actually I learned how to be abstinent from secular people. And I know that it's a grace gift now that he has given. And so when I'm around Christians who try to tell me that it's okay to go back into the addiction, you know, to I know that the Lord is merciful, but I don't want to put God to the test. I don't want to do that. And so I don't give myself permission to go back into sin. It's like, you know, Paul says, you know, when he was talking about grace, that grace gift, does that mean that we just go on sinning, you know, so his grace can be revealed? I don't think so. No. There's too much work to be done. There's too many people out there suffering. And so I don't want to be sitting there taking my comfort just because I have the grace to know that, you know, the Lord is going to forgive me. I don't want that. I want to serve him. I want to think deeply about the love that he has given to me and has placed in me. Because that's a life that is second to none, to be working for him clean and clear and empowered. I want to live that life. And I believe that Paul wanted that too. Paul says in 8, in verse 8, he says, actually he says this in verse 7, he says, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. And it is a privilege and an honor to be given an understanding and to share this truth, to be given that. And so why would I want to go back? And even though I know the Lord will forgive me, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward with him. And Paul says, I am the least deserving of all of God's people. And Paul at once killed Christians, but he knows that God is merciful and forgiving. And all he needs to have is a sincere and a contrite heart. It's written in one of the Psalms, Psalm 51, actually, that was written by David. And it was written after he was repenting after his sin with Bathsheba. And he says in Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17, he says, you do not desire sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. And so this is what I try to do. I show my repentance by taking my recovery very, very seriously. Again, if I can look around me and see that even those who are not calling Jesus Lord, that they can know the importance of their recovery, then I, who know him and have his spirit in me, then I can live that recovery. And I don't have to go and live my life making excuses about it. And I'll say one other thing. This is verse 10, Paul speaking. He says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom. One of the things that I really feel moved to do is to be a vital part of the recovery movement that is happening in the church. I am a part of my church's Celebrate Recovery. And I had gone there before, and then I had stopped going for a while. Part of my mind was saying, well, you know, there, please, you know, there's more recovery in the 12-step rooms than it is in this movement, you know. And so but I have gone back, and I have thought in my mind, this is what I'm saying. It's like, duh, you know. Of course, we have learned a lot. I've learned a lot in the 12-step rooms. And if I look in the history of the 12-step rooms, I'll realize, though, that those who began the movement in the 12-step rooms were those who had devoted their life to the Lord. I'm reading the story of Bill and Bob, and Dr. Bob especially, where he used to take those people who came after him. He would take them through Bible studies. He held Bible studies in his home for those who were in recovery. And I believe that that was a strong part of that 12-step recovery. And I felt at one point being pushed out of that because of once I came to know Jesus, I could not even talk about it. I could not talk about what had happened to me, although other people could talk about their faith. But I realized that the name of Jesus is powerful, and so there are people who are fighting that still. I fought it one time. But I know that the Lord will show me how I can share the truth of recovery to people who are still suffering. And one of the best ways of me doing it now is to take what I have learned about the importance of, especially with the food recovery, staying clean and clear and committed with my food no matter what, and not talking that, you know, talking the talk and just saying that it's okay to eat. You know, it's not okay to eat. There's too much work to be done in the church. And where it says in verse 10, God's purpose was to use the church to display his wisdom. And I would not have the wisdom of the Lord if I would decide that I'm going to go pick up and start eating just because I have the grace of God to do it. You know, I don't want to do that today. And I pray, I'm praying, Lord, please keep me abstinent. And please keep me from bitterness, but to share with honesty in the church what I have learned about recovery, in the hopes that those who are still under the stronghold addictions will take the gift of recovery and to go on and to live in the Spirit and to live out this great life that the Lord has given to us. But I'm going to stop there and ask our shepherd